We'll be considering the first five verses of 2 Timothy 4. Let's pray for the Lord's help. Lord, as we come before your word, we humble ourselves before you. Lord, we ask that your spirit would move in our midst. We ask that you would speak to your people, that we would joyfully receive your word, that we would be those who upon hearing your word would trust and obey. Lord, help me as I preach to say what is true and right. Help me not be a hindrance, but simply a herald of the truth. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Why should anyone listen to preaching? Why should anyone choose to endure being preached at week after week? What gives pastors the nerve to stand up and to tell people what to do? These are questions that our culture simply doesn't know how to answer. It doesn't make any sense because our culture seems to have an inherently negative view of preaching. Preaching is thought of as something bad, something rude. People say things like, "Don't preach at me." Preaching is not something that the church came up with. It wasn't developed over experimentation with communication techniques. It's not something that just works or something that just seems like a good idea. No, pastors preach because God has commanded it. Preaching is not a human invention. It's a divine commission. Look to our text. I'm going to begin the reading at the end of chapter 3 in verse 16 and then on into chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. This is the word of the Lord, God's holy, perfect, inerrant, infallible word. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. Last week we considered the privilege of having God's written word. What a treasure it is to have access to the very word of God. To be able to read it and look at it and consider it ourselves. Today we see that God has commanded the preaching of that word. But why preaching? But why did God come up with this idea to take men and have them speak on his behalf? Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:21, "It pleased God through the folly of preaching to save those who believe." So even the scripture acknowledges that this seems crazy. This seems foolish that a man would speak on behalf of God, and yet it is the appointed means by which souls are saved and sanctified. Preaching is a gift from God, but it's a gift that not everyone thinks they want to receive. There are those who intentionally avoid preaching. After a funeral sermon, a stranger came and spoke to me. He said to me, "You're more of a pastor than a preacher." I didn't quite know what he meant. So I asked him to clarify. He said, "Well, as you were preaching, you showed care and concern for your listeners rather than just preaching at us. Apparently, my preaching was pastoral." So I think it was a compliment. But it revealed his low view of preaching. I was curious, so I went and looked it up in some dictionaries. Merriam-Webster gives this definition for preaching: to exhort in a tiresome manner. Okay? How about the Oxford Dictionary? To give moral advice in a pompous, self-righteous way. The Cambridge Dictionary: to give unwanted advice, especially about moral manners, in a boring way. The Chambers Dictionary says, preaching is to give advice in an offensive, tedious, and obtrusive manner. Oh, man. Now, they also have the other definition: to give a religious discourse, to deliver a sermon. But they all included this very negative definition. Preaching has come to be something that the culture sees we should avoid. We should try not to hear preaching. It's like receiving a tirade, a harangue, someone giving a lecture, being yelled at when you've done something wrong. Who would choose to endure such a horrible activity? Well, the biblical concept of preaching is rather different. When God commands, "Preach the word," he has something else in mind entirely. So what is preaching? According to the Bible, what is preaching? Well, let's just start with the word that's in our text. The word here translated as preach the word, it refers to heralding, proclaiming, declaring, announcing, crying out. It's the image back in the ancient world of a herald who would come into the town square, unroll his scroll, and say, "Thus says the king," and give his pronouncement. He would give the message of the king. Preaching is speaking on behalf of someone else, which means that preaching is not intended to be casual. It's not a pep talk. It's not merely conveying information. Preaching should not be simply someone giving their opinion, and definitely not trying to entertain. Preaching is heralding a message from God Almighty. It's declaring the word of the Lord. Which means preaching should be bold. Preaching should be done with authority. But of course, we must remember that the authority is a borrowed authority. The preacher is only authorized to speak the word of the Lord. Thus the command, preach the word. The preacher's not free to just say whatever he wants. He's not here to tell cute stories. He's not here to preach politics or to preach psychology or to preach his own opinion. He's to preach the word of God. We're given a picture of it in Nehemiah chapter 8. It was read earlier. Listen carefully for the aspects of preaching. Nehemiah 8 verse 8 says, "They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly. And they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading." So preaching in the biblical sense refers to reading, explaining, and applying the word of God. That's it. Let me say that again. Preaching is reading, explaining, and applying the scripture. In our passage, it's made clear that we need the preaching of the word. I want us to consider five aspects of biblical preaching. this morning. First, the seriousness of preaching. What makes preaching so serious? Why is this a big deal? Well, the preacher represents God. The preacher is God's spokesman. He dare not say something that God has not said. Look at verse 1. Paul says to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Now that is a really long introduction. He didn't just say, Timothy, you need to preach the word. He said, Jesus, the king of everything, the judge of the living, the dead, he's coming back, and you will be held accountable to this command. You must preach the word. He expects to find you as one who has faithfully delivered the message. No preacher should think lightly of the task of preaching. Sermons are serious business. So let me ask you, how serious do you consider the preaching of the word? Is it a big deal? Do you receive preaching with reverence? Is there a solemnness that comes to your heart as you hear the word of God expounded? The seriousness of preaching. Secondly, the content of preaching. What exactly is supposed to be preached? What is the preacher to say? Well, it's really clear. Verse 2, preach the word. Don't preach anything else. Preach what God has said. Preach the scripture, the word of God. The job is simply to deliver the message. Which means for preachers, they need to be much more concerned with clarity than they are with creativity. I'm not trying to innovate and do something new up here. I'm trying to give you what the Lord has said. The job of the preacher is to say, thus says the Lord. Now, this has actually been on display throughout the book. Let me give you a couple examples. Back in chapter 1, verse 13, Paul gives this command to Timothy. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Timothy, don't just start saying your own thing. Follow the pattern of the sound words. Stick to the scripture. Chapter 2, verse 15. Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. The herald must carefully explain the text, the word. The preacher must preach the word. The scripture must be announced. It's what God has said that needs to be declared. Interestingly, the command is not simply talk about the word, say something about the word. No, it's preach the word, declare it, herald it, announce it with authority. God uses his word to transform his people. And God intends for that word to be preached by someone who needs to be transformed by it. It's not as if the preacher has it all together. Far from it. Which means preaching shouldn't be condescending. It's not someone who knows everything telling you foolish people what you need to know. No, no, no. No, God has chosen to use messed up, fallible instruments to proclaim his infallible word. No other, it seems, like the folly of preaching. You and I need the preaching of the word. It's not just that you need the preaching of the word. I need the preaching of the word. We all need the word to be declared. And brothers and sisters, you should expect it. You should demand it. You should require your pastor to preach the word. You should be like the people in Nehemiah's day who say, bring out the book. We are ready to be fed. Give us the word. Never be satisfied with stories and fluff. You don't need twaddle. What you need is the word. Now, there's something miraculous that happens in preaching. God speaks. Now, I'm not claiming to be God. Far from it. And yet, when the word of God is preached, God speaks to those who have ears to hear. Preaching is God communicating to his people through a human spokesman. In preaching, God speaks to his people. God is actively speaking to his people in the midst of every sound, right sermon. As much as the scripture is accurately taught, God is talking to his people. We see this view of preaching in the Bible. So Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verse 17, that Jesus came and preached peace to you. Now, wait a minute. How could he preach peace to the Ephesians? Jesus never went to Ephesus. So in what sense can Paul say that Jesus preached peace to them? Well, Jesus preached through the preaching of his servants, his followers. Likewise, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul writes, "When you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the words of men, but as what it really was, the word of God." God speaks through the preaching of his word, which means when you're listening to a sermon, you shouldn't think, "My pastor's speaking to me about Jesus." Rather, you should think, "Jesus is speaking to me through my pastor." You need to hear the preaching of the word. You need to hear from God. Are you here ready to hear his voice? Thirdly, let's think about the extent of preaching. What all does preaching involve? Well, look at verse 2 again in chapter 4. There it is. "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching." There's a lot going on there. There's a lot, we're told, that's involved in preaching. First of all, preach in season and out of season. Timothy, you need to always be ready. You need to press the truth home on every occasion, when it's convenient, when it's inconvenient, when it's well received, when it's not received well at all, when you feel like it, and when you don't feel like it. The preaching of the word needs to continue week after week, day after day, occasion after occasion. Timothy, keep on preaching the word, Paul says. You and I need to hear the preaching of the word. You need to hear it when you're having a good day. And you need to hear the preaching of the word when you're having a bad day. You need to hear the preaching of the word when you feel like going to church and when you don't feel like going to church. You need the preaching of the word. Do you make it a priority to consistently hear the preaching of the word? Is it on your schedule? I must be there. I won't miss out. I'm hungry and ready to be fed from the Lord. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Paul, having just explained what the word of God is useful for, now tells Timothy that he is to be the instrument through which God uses his word to do his work. And notice the similarity, the connection between chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and then what we're seeing in verse 2. So back to chapter 3. "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." And now he says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Paul is simply saying, Timothy, God's word is profitable for teaching. So teach. God's word is profitable for correction. So correct. God's word is profitable for training people in the way of righteousness. So get busy training your congregation in the right way they should go by means of the word. Apply the word. Look at the end of the verse. Do all these things with complete patience and teaching. Timothy, you need to read the word. You need to explain the word, and you need to apply the word in all of its various ways. That means you need to do some reproving, some rebuking, some exhorting. You need to do patient teaching. The preacher is not to just tell you what you're supposed to do and expect you to get it all instantly. He has to be patient with you. Much like teaching a child. When you try to show a child how to do a task, you have to come back to them again and again. It takes time. We're all children in the family of God. And we need to be dealt with some patience. Complete patience. I kind of wish the Lord had put it there. Maybe I could give you a little bit of patience and I'd be okay. But God actually calls the preacher to have complete patience as he's teaching, as he's correcting, as he's encouraging, as he's challenging. This means preaching should be personal. Preaching's actually supposed to get in your business. It's supposed to tell you, no, actually, you're mistaken there. You need to change what you believe, what you're doing, what you're thinking. That means, at least at some times, preaching should be painful. The Spirit should bring conviction. But other times, it brings encouragement. It brings great joy. God is cutting away false belief and sinful actions as we listen attentively. God is molding us and making us as we listen to the word preached. All of this, again, means that preaching should be done with authority, and it should be received with submissiveness. I appreciated this quote from Jotty Rhodes. He writes, God's primary appointed means of convincing us, challenging us, comforting us from the truth of Scripture is through preaching. This is the main way throughout history God has dealt with his people, through the preaching of the word. Do you come to church ready to have God deal with you? Do you come humbly before the word? Lord, teach me, correct me, rebuke me. Do whatever you have to do to make me into the image of Christ. Do you come prepared for the Lord to work in your life? Do you pray, Lord, make me into what you want me to be by means of this preaching? Fourthly, the urgency of preaching. We need to consider the need, the reason for it. It's already been hinted at, but we'll keep going here. Beginning at verse 2 again. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Here's the reason. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So why is preaching commanded? Because people don't naturally want to listen to God. Even if they have a copy of the Bible, they would rather hear other voices than rather look and hear from God. The truth is, we would rather have people tell us what we want to hear. All too often, people turn away from divine revelation to human speculation. That's why preaching is needed. The negative view of preaching that our culture has simply reveals the sinfulness of the human heart. Of course we don't like preaching. We don't want to be preached at because we don't want anyone to tell us what to do. We don't think anyone has the right to tell us what to believe and how to live. And yet that's exactly what God has. He has that right. And he is speaking through his spokesman when the word is preached. Can you endure sound teaching? Or would you really rather hear something else? The word sound teaching refers to what is healthy, what is right. It's talking about the teaching of Scripture. What is orthodox, what is right, what is true. But that's not what people want to hear. They just won't have any of that. Enough of that. We want someone to tell us that all of our sinning is just fine. That our rebellion is really something that we should celebrate. Listen to what the people told Isaiah. Isaiah 30, verse 10. Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak smooth words. Prophesy illusions. We don't want the truth. We want what's easy, what's comfortable, what feels good. Let me ask you, do you have itching ears? Can you just not bear to hear the truth of God's word? Or do you love it? Are you hungry to hear sound words, the teaching of Scripture? The implications of this text for the preacher are clear. The preacher must say what is true even when it's unpopular, even when it could get him in trouble. We can't just go along with the culture. Rather, we need to take a stand against what is actually sin, what is wrong. In our day and age, what this means is that we have to speak out against what the culture says is good, but we all know is wrong. We have to confront, for example, sexual perversions of all kinds. Fornication is forbidden. Adultery is against God's law. Homosexuality is against nature. Transgenderism is a lie. Abortion is murder. You see, sex is reserved only for the covenant of marriage between one man and one woman. But our culture keeps telling us, no, you can do whatever you want with whoever you want, whatever you want, as long as there's consent. The Bible is much more clear. It tells us what is good and what is right. We need to call sin what it is. And any preacher who refuses to condemn sinful behavior, he's simply not preaching the word. The message that the Lord has said is what must be delivered. You can't say the Lord winks at this particular sin. That's not a big deal. It's fine. It's not fine. What the Lord has said is what the Lord has said. And even if it gets you in trouble, that's the message that must be preached. The Bible is so clear. Apart from Christ, we are all sinners. We're all guilty. We're all lost. And we are unable to fix that problem. Now, I realize that's really bad news. But people need to hear that bad news. Otherwise, they will never understand the good news. No one wants to hear, you have broken God's law. No one wants to hear, you have failed to keep God's commandments. We don't want to be told that we've sinned and that God is going to judge every sin. He will see to it that every sin deserves its just penalty. No one wants to hear that we all deserve to go to hell, but we do. That's the truth. And we need to hear that truth. But thankfully, that's not the whole story. There's more in the Scripture. You see, the bad news makes the good news that much more glorious. Have you ever been into a jeweler? They've got all these diamonds. And where do they put them? They put them against black velvet. Because the contrast makes that diamond shine all the more. We are responsible to share the bad news because it makes the glorious gospel of God's grace shine that much brighter. The Bible says we are sinners, but it also says that God sent Jesus to rescue sinners. Listen to this familiar text. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Listen to verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. There we have the good news against the dark background of sinful condition. If we reject God, we will perish. We will experience the wrath of God. But God, in his love and his mercy, sent Jesus to take the penalty our sin deserved. He lived a perfect life, died a substitutionary death, rose victoriously from the grave, so that anyone who repents and believes in him, anyone who turns from their sin and trusts in him, can be forgiven. The Bible's really clear about our sin, but it's equally clear about the hope that we have in Jesus. The preacher of the word must preach the law and preach the gospel. Or as we often sing together, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. That's true. That's glorious. So preaching the word involves taking a stand against the culture and offering the hope that's found only in Jesus Christ. Preaching is needed because the world is filled with falsehood. What people really need is the truth. Sound words may not be what they want to hear, but it's what they need to hear. So what about you? Do you hunger for the truth? Are you excited when the word is being preached, when sound words are being clearly explained? Or do you have itching ears? Are you surfing the internet, finding some teacher somewhere who says what you want to do is just fine? Beware. Finally, the goal of preaching. Let's look at verse 5. Paul writes, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That last little clause there, fulfill your ministry, in some respect, that's what the whole book of Timothy is about. Paul, at the end of his life, having fulfilled his ministry, says to Timothy, I've passed the baton to you. It's your turn. Now finish the race. Fulfill your ministry. Accomplish the work. Deliver the message that you have been given. Just as a herald must deliver the message, so Timothy must take the gospel he has been entrusted with and pass it on to others. Look down to verse 17. Paul describes the finishing of his ministry. He says, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. He says, God was with me. He was helping me do exactly what I needed to do, which was to fully proclaim the word of the Lord. Timothy, this is how you fulfill your ministry. You speak the truth. You preach the word. But here's some more detail in here. Look at verse 5. All aspects of what it looks like to fulfill your ministry. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and so fulfill your ministry. Timothy, you've got to be sober-minded. You have to keep your head. You have to be thinking clearly. In the midst of opposition, whatever's coming your way, you've got to keep it together. Be sober-minded. Timothy, you're going to have to endure suffering. He's been saying it all throughout the letter. Suffer for Christ. Endure persecutions. Whatever difficulties come, you press on. You endure. Don't give up. Timothy, you need to do the work
of an evangelist. The word evangelist comes from the root word for gospel. The euangelion is the gospel. We get the word evangelical from this word. Evangelical refers to gospel people, people of the gospel. So a evangelist is a gospel-er, someone who goes about gospel-ing. They take that gospel and they proclaim it. They explain it. There's someone who is heralding the gospel. So interestingly, in a different way, he's saying what he's been saying the whole time. Timothy, preach the word. That is, do the work of an evangelist. Preach the good news. That really is what the whole Bible's about. The core teaching, the summary of the word of God is what Christ has done to save sinners. So preach the word. Preach the gospel word. Timothy, this is how you fulfill your ministry. You never stop proclaiming this message until it is fully proclaimed, until everyone has heard the message. But what about you? I mean, this whole sermon's a little weird, right? In some respect, I'm preaching to you my job description, what your pastor's supposed to be doing. What ministry, what area of service would the Lord have you fulfill? You too need to fulfill your ministry. We're all different with different giftings. We have different areas of service. And yet there is some overlap. There are some things that apply to all Christians. And some of them are actually on display in this text. So answer me. Has God called you to be sober-minded? To keep your head? To think clearly in the face of opposition? Has God called you to endure suffering? To persevere through difficulty, even persecution? Has God called you to do the work of an evangelist? By all means, He's called all of us to share the good news of Christ. It's not just pastors who need to preach the word. Every one of us needs to preach the word in some respect. All Christians who have been entrusted with the gospel need to be busy proclaiming the word of the Lord. We all need to be gospelers who are going about gospeling. We all need to be people who cannot keep quiet about what God has done for us. The gospel should just spew in our conversations again and again and again. We should keep talking about God's amazing grace. Interesting cross reference here. In Acts 8, verse 4, we read about the church. All the members of the church who are scattered due to persecution. Difficulty has come, and they spread all out, fearing their lives. Listen to what Luke tells us the church did as it spread. Acts 8, verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. It doesn't say now the apostles went preaching the word. It doesn't say now the pastors preached the word. It's all of the people who scattered preached the word. Now, interestingly, the word here translated for preached is not our standard word that was at the beginning here, to herald. It's the same word for evangelist. They went preaching the gospel, the word. They went declaring the good news of the word of God. Brothers and sisters, we all need to preach the word. And we all need to hear the preaching of the word. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that you've given us your word. And Lord, we are thankful that you've appointed men to proclaim, to preach that word to us. To read the word clearly, to give the sense, to explain it, to apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray that we would rightly prioritize the preaching of your word. Lord, help us to humbly receive the preaching of your word. And help us to humbly do the preaching of your word. Help us to declare the gospel to a world filled with those with itching ears, to a culture that doesn't want to be preached at. May we lovingly proclaim the truth.
Help us all to exhort, to rebuke, to teach patiently about the love of God. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus.